I'll call the next case, case number 24-1110, Aldueno versus Mid-Century Insurance.
May it please the court. Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Laura Carlock, and I represent Appellant Aldueno, LLC. We are here today to address a critical error in the District Court's grant of summary judgment against Aldueno's statutory bad faith claim under Colorado law. The District Court erroneously adopted a bright line rule that an insurer can act reasonably as a matter of law if it relies on a single expert report when making a claims decision, despite evidence that that report is flawed. This approach conflicts with established Colorado precedent, which requires courts to assess the reasonableness of an insurer's actions based on the totality of the circumstances. We ask this court to reverse the district court's decision and remand this case for trial.
If we determine that the district court's ruling was more nuanced than that, and it wasn't just if you rely on a third-party expert, you have no bad faith, If we thought it was more nuanced than that, does that basically do away with your case?
Thought it was more nuanced.
I guess because I sort of view the record as this, that the district court didn't say, if any time you go get a third party engineer to say that there's no hail damage, despite contrary evidence, you cannot be held to have acted in bad faith. You're not suggesting that's the ruling, are you?
That if the insurer, repeat that, I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Any time that you get a third party engineering expert to opine that there's no hail damage, despite contrary evidence, the district court didn't say that that is every time going to be no bad faith, did it?
Your Honor, we actually believe that that is the case. The court was very clear.
Okay, so my question is, if we determine that it was more nuanced than that, that the district court didn't reach that precise of a holding or decision, would that be problematic for your case?
No, Your Honor. I believe that under the evidence that we presented to the court, we've established a genuine issue of material fact, and that makes this improper for summary judgment.
Okay, what is your evidence of bad faith?
First, Your Honor, is the snow cover. There was Mr. Templeton and Mr. McCourt inspected the roof while at least partially covered in snow. In his claim notes, Mr. McCourt admits the snow, it covers half of the roof. And Ms. Fields, the original Mid-Century adjuster, had photographed hail damage during her earlier inspection. And Mr. McCourt admits that particular damage was covered by the snow when he looked at and when he inspected the roof.
McCourt is the second adjuster.
Yes. And then Mr. Templeton followed up while there was still snow on the roof. And Mid-Century was aware of the snow on the roof, but it still did not question Mr. Templeton regarding whether that snow also covered up did not seek clarification regarding whether the snow covered up the damage that Ms. Fields had found. And she does. We have photographic evidence of 8 hail hits on the roof.
Don't we judge reasonableness by industry standards? And in this case, they were quite open about the fact that there was snow on the roof in at least a couple of these occasions. They said how much snow was on the roof. They didn't try to hide that. They explained, you know, how they arrived at their calculations despite the snow. Did you present any evidence that that is somehow contrary to industry standards?
Well, Your Honor, we presented that as we believe that it was obvious from the evidence before the insurer at the time it made its claims decision that there were problems with this report. The fact that they recognized the snow, they never tried to reconcile the fact that Ms. Fields' own evidence and photographs demonstrated that there was actual hail hits. And Mid-Century admits that just one hail hit on a modified bitumen roof can cause the replacement of the entire roof. So the fact that she looked at one test square and found eight hits that are suddenly disappeared from the record and not resolved or reconciled with the other evidence on the record, we believe that creates a genuine issue of material fact before the district court.
It sounded to me like you were saying that when Templeton was on the roof, that there was snow covering most all of the roof. That was not my understanding.
No, Your Honor. It was partially covered. I did not mean to give that impression.
Most of it was not covered, correct?
I would not say most of it. Well, there's no...
What does the witness say? What does the evidence say, not what you say?
Just that it was partially covered. Our point, Your Honor, is that there was no discussion with Mr. Templeton about, there was no clarification of whether that snow could have been covering Ms. Fields' prior damage. The witness, the corporate representative for Mid-Century, discusses that he assumed that it was not covered and that he assumed Mr. Templeton brushed the snow off the roof.
Does your witness testify that a breach in a small part of the roof could cause that whole roof to have to be replaced?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right. And where does he say
that? Well, it's not. It is the corporate representative for Mid-Century.
No, this guy that you hired, was hired.
Oh, Mr. Freeman?
Yes.
He does not state in his particular opinion,
where is that? Is it anywhere? You referenced it.
Yes, sir. It is in Mid-Century's corporate representative's deposition testimony that I'm happy to read it for the court.
Okay. And who is this person?
This person is Damon Gatewood.
Okay.
And it is on the court's reporter record, volume 3, page 13, 013. Actually, 012 and 013, where he is asked whether, looking at the claim note at the bottom of 845, it says, found hail damage to flat rolled roof in 10 by 10 area, 8 hail hits. And he says there's a discussion about whether Ms. Fields observed that. And he said, so there could have been one hit, you know, on an entire run, and we would have had to replace it. And that's the testimony.
Whoa, are you talking about? He says replace it. Yeah, let's patch this part of the, I don't know, is this what's called a built-up roof with a membrane? And
Yes. But he didn't say patch, Your Honor. He meant replace. Replace the roof.
What do you mean he meant? Read me the words.
Okay. So there could have been one hit, you know, on an entire run, and we would have had to replace it.
Whatever a run is.
Okay, let me give a little bit more detail. I'm sorry.
All right.
We, you know, in order to replace that particular slope, we would need to be 8 or more hail hits within that test square to get the slope replaced. And I think she just kind of used that reference because that really doesn't correlate the same to modified bit roofs or flat roofing surfaces, because there's no, I mean, shingles you can repair, but these modified bit roofs, you really can't. So there could have been one hit, you know, on the entire run, and we would have had to replace it. He's talking about not repairing shingles. He's talking about replacing the roof.
I understand what a built-up roof is.
Yes, Your Honor. So that's
the
evidence
that's
we presented.
That's where it says that if you got a little ding that pierces the membrane, you got to replace the whole roof. Right?
In your words, not necessarily a little ding. We had hail hits.
Inch, 1.7 inches size hail.
Well, that adds to another problem, Your Honor. The original adjuster, Ms. Fields, and Mr. Templeton both said the hail was 2.5 inches, not 1.7. And so that is in Mid-Century's files.
Well, you agree, though, that, I mean, that the sizing of the hail was inexact. I mean, it's based, nobody knows how big that hail was. That's based on weather reports that weren't even from that precise area.
Absolutely, but okay.
I mean, so that's a little nuance in the analysis. It's not like it was 2.5 inch hail and they ignored it and said it was 1.75. I mean, nobody really knew. Everybody agrees that was an imprecise estimate. That's just an estimate.
But Your Honor, don't you think that's for a jury to decide and not the court? That's why we're here.
You don't think that a court can take judicial notice that, I mean, you're not contesting that nobody measured the hail at the time it occurred.
No, Your Honor, I am not.
And so nobody, I mean, it's unprovable.
I honestly don't know how to respond to that.
Well, that's fine. Let me ask you a different question. So I've got the big, do you agree that we have to look at the Templeton's pictures at the time he looked at the roof to determine what the snow cover was?
Yes, Your Honor. Okay. I agree.
And if we look at that and say, gosh, that doesn't look like that much snow in context, I mean, maybe it's possible that there was reasonable for the insurance company not to go behind his report and second guess him.
I disagree.
Okay.
I believe that there is evidence on the record that demonstrates that there is a question of fact as to the reasonableness. We may disagree on the snow cover.
What's in the record that, I mean, you don't have a dispute with Templeton, do you? You're not suggesting that he did something that was not in accordance with industry standards, are you?
No, Your Honor, I'm not.
Okay. You're suggesting that the way the insurance company basically adjusted the claim, relying on only Templeton's work, that is not in accordance with industry standards.
And actually, I would like to actually pull back from my last answer, if I may. I do think there were issues with Templeton, the way Templeton's inspection took place. I do believe that there was snow on the roof and that it could have been covering Ms. Fields' damage that she had found. They made a coverage decision of covered hail damage and paid my client. And then they turn around after just one expert report, which we claim has evidence of being suspect based on the inspection itself. I'm not saying he wasn't unqualified. I believe he was qualified.
Stop you a minute, because they didn't just turn around and change their mind. This was, they came up with this amount and it was sometime later then that your client decided that their entire roof needed to be replaced when it rained the next April and rain comes in, and then they decided, oh, well, we've got $300,000 worth of damage here, so they resubmitted the claim. Isn't that what prompted
They provided an changed estimate that demonstrated.
A hugely changed estimate.
Absolutely, but I do.
Replacing all the roof, right?
Yes, I mean, yes.
So it's not that they just turned around and said, oh, we're going to get a different estimate. Everything changed in that time period, everything. And how is that contrary to industry standards to have hired Mr. Templeton, for him to have done his report, even if it varied from the prior report? What makes what they did contrary to industry standards?
I guess what I should clarify here, and I think with Your Honor's Justice Carson's initial question to me, I don't think the holding is nuanced here. I do believe that the district court held, as a matter of law, reliance on an expert report is reasonable. I believe that he uses that language in his opinion. He says, as a matter of law. Now, he rejects our arguments. There's no question about that. I'm not arguing that he did not reject our arguments, but he states in his opinion, I apologize. This is what he says, that he notes that courts Many courts hold.
What page are you reading?
I'm sorry. Let me pull up, because I have it in my notes, but let me pull it up exactly in the. It is on page 4 of his opinion. Before he begins his discussion about the reliance on the expert report and whether it was flawed, the court does say. Multiple courts have held, and of course I want to disagree with the courts that he's relying on. We can also discuss that. But multiple courts have held reliance on an engineering report prepared by qualified professionals according to established and reliable methods is reasonable as a matter of law and cannot be the basis of a bad faith claim. So this is a two-tiered.
And then it goes on, and then the court goes on to consider this particular report, and it talks about this particular report. So I'm not seeing the absolute language that you're referring to here, other than saying multiple courts have held, and those cases also don't support a bright line rule. So
may I respond to one point?
But you can respond.
Okay. Judge Domenico, he states that Mid-Century deferred to the expert, period. He recognizes.
And he continues on to say that they relied on the information that they had at the time, talks about that being reasonable. So I'm going to, unless the others have, yep.
The point that there was nothing else except from what the district court calls was an adjuster, not a professional engineer. And so there was no other evidence. And in the summary judgment chemistry, then it seems like it was appropriate that he said that relying upon this in the face of no reasonable opposition, then it was appropriate to rely upon them, and it was not unreasonable.
I understand. I do understand what you're saying. May I respond? Again, it is a question of reasonableness, and it is a fact-intensive inquiry. And we believe, Your Honors, that we have presented enough evidence that and argument that at summary judgment should be interpreted in our favor that causes enough of a genuine dispute of material fact that it is inappropriate for summary judgment. Thank you. Any other questions?
Thank you, Kim.
Okay, thank you.
May it please the court, Mike Brooks for Mid-Century Insurance Company. Judge Domenico's decision was more nuanced than the bright-line rule that counsel presents. The district court correctly held that Mid-Century reasonably relied on the expert report of Mr. Templeton that was reviewed and validated through another expert report by John Peterson, another professional engineer, to show a genuine issue of material fact on reasonableness. El Dueno had to show that Templeton's analysis was inconsistent with industry standards. And industry standards based on some law, regulation, or through expert testimony. El Dueno's summary judgment evidence consisted of the unsworn report of Carrie Freeman, a Texas-based roofer and insurance adjuster, who opined simply about his inspection of the condition of the roof and his disagreement with certain factual statements made in the Rimkus report by Templeton, but failed to articulate any statement whatsoever that Templeton violated any industry standards in his inspection or evaluation of the report.
And can't that be inferred from the disagreement? I mean, presumably their expert is of the opinion that he's following industry standards. So if he disagrees, can we infer that that was some evidence of not complying with industry standards?
I don't believe so. First of all, mere disagreement is not enough to show unreasonableness. The case of Crum versus Chubb that was decided in 2024. I think Judge Moritz wrote that opinion, specifically talked about that issue.
A slightly different point.
But moving to the more detailed point, in specific, the Freeman report noted questions about whether Mr. Templeton could have seen the entire roof surface, but he did not opine that Templeton couldn't. He simply raised the question and then did not make any more affirmative statements. So there's not a basis for an inference that he was challenging Templeton's application of industry standards.
Assuming that he couldn't see the entire surface of the roof, which we know he couldn't because there is some snow on there, was there any anything in the opposing party's opposition to summary judgment that in and of itself would violate industry standards to rely on a report?
There is no evidence whatsoever. And frankly, there is no statement in the plaintiff's response to MidCentury's motion for summary judgment that was a violation of industry standards. Their response brief references industry standards, the words industry standards, only twice, and that's in a quote of a case. In our opening brief on summary judgment and in our reply, we frequently and repeatedly reference the need for evidence of industry standards by the plaintiff in order to rebut our summary judgment argument. And not just the question whether MidCentury was acting consistently with industry standards, but whether the expert, Mr. Templeton, was acting consistently, because that's what the case law is. In our papers, we cited to the Sandoval versus Unum case, which was decided, Judge Bacharach wrote that opinion back in 2020. And in that case, it wasn't just the question about whether Unum, the insurance company, had violated industry standards, but whether the internist who performed the additional medical examination of the plaintiff and made the final recommendation on which the insurance company relied, whether that internist had relied on industry standards. And the Musil Master case, on which Judge Domenico relied in his opinion, also addressed the question whether the Hale expert in that case relied on industry standards. And the Bell Advisors case, the non-published Colorado Court of Appeals opinion on which Judge Jackson relied when he issued his opinion in Musil Master, that case too talked about whether the underlying expert had violated industry standards. So the industry standards question is twofold, one with respect to the actions of the insurance company and the other with respect to the actions of the expert, here Mr. Templeton. And to Judge Carson's question, I don't believe that the Freeman report addressed in any way whether Mr. Templeton had acted consistently with industry standards.
So you raised something. I'm wondering what we need to consider. Is our inquiry related to whether the insurance company followed industry standards in relying on the report, or whether the expert did? Because, I mean, isn't the whole reason the insurance company hires an expert is because they don't have the technological expertise themselves?
Yeah. Yes. The answer to the short question is yes, that is correct. But to go to the more detailed question behind it, there are two levels of industry standards inquiry. The ultimate question here is the reasonableness of the insurance company's claim decision. And the determination of the reasonableness of that claim decision is based on industry standards. Peden versus State Farm said that. Fisher versus State Farm at the state Supreme Court level said that. A number of other cases say that. Industry standards are informed by state law or expert testimony. Again, this court's opinion in Peden versus State Farm supports that proposition directly. Then we get to the second level of inquiry, which is the one that you were talking about, Judge Carson. When you are relying on an expert, an insurance company is reasonably entitled to rely on the opinions of a qualified expert, unless the other side, unless the insured has evidence that shows that the expert failed to comply with industry standards.
And that would be, they would have to provide that information to the insurance company before the insurance company made their decision.
Conceivably, yes. I mean, you could always, an insured can ask for reconsideration under certain facts. That's not the case here.
Fair enough. Pre-lawsuit. How's that?
Pre-lawsuit would be the typical way that would happen. Judge Murphy, I'm sorry.
So we can't use Freeman information because that was submitted well after the decision to decline coverage, correct?
I believe that's correct. And if the Freeman report, even if the court considers the Freeman report, frankly, which is post-litigation and outside of the period of the pre-claim decision process, but even if the court considers the Freeman report, you know, it does not directly reference or even indirectly reference a violation of industry standards. But Judge, Judge Domenico specifically did note that because the Freeman report predated the inception of litigation, and this goes to your point, Your Honor, as well, Mid-Century never had notice of the specific things that the insured was ultimately stating were violations of industry standards. And frankly, even today, in their briefing on appeal, El Dueno has identified a number of alleged industry standards that were violated by Mid-Century in its claim decision process through references to multiple district court opinions, mostly, that are cobbled together. But none of that was ever presented to Judge Domenico for his consideration. There was no argument whatsoever in the response to Mid-Century's motion for summary judgment about violations of industry standards, either by Mr. Templeton or by Mid-Century.
So reliance, is this correct, that reliance then would have to be had on Field, as Field's findings as to this smaller portion suggested that the insurer should not rely upon Templeton. Isn't Field the only thing left to question the opinion of Templeton and Peters?
You're asking, is that the only thing that El Dueno has left?
Yes.
It is certainly the only thing that they rely on. And we believe that reliance is improvident, as I believe the district court did as well. And the reasons for that are that after Fields completed her report, and then the insured resubmitted the claim or submitted this much larger estimate, that's when it was turned over to the adjuster who had more experience in relation to these types of modified bitumen roofs. And ultimately, that Mr. Templeton was assigned to the matter. And he was able to fully inspect the roof and determine that there was no evidence of hail hits. The record contains evidence through Ms. Field's own deposition testimony that while she was an experienced adjuster and had been working as a commercial adjuster, she did not have a lot of experience with adjusting hail claims on modified bitumen roofs. And so when she performed this test score methodology, she later determined and learned that that was not the appropriate way to do that kind of a roof inspection. And so when the full inspection was done by Mr. Templeton later on, that inspection revealed that there were no hail hits, that the granular disturbances that were noted by Ms. Fields were not evidence of hail hits. Now, he didn't comment specifically on Fields' analysis because when Mr. Templeton was retained, he was not provided that so that he could do his own independent analysis.
Did Freeman opine that this Templeton testimony about that not being hail damage, notwithstanding what Fields said, that was incorrect, or that determination violated industry standard?
He did say that he disagreed. This is Freeman talking in his report. He disagreed with Templeton's assessment that the granular disturbances on the roof were evidence of hail hits. He did not opine that that was a violation of industry standards or even suggest that.
I'm wondering why industry standards wouldn't require, when you've had an experienced adjuster like Fields and you have accepted her findings, but then you decide, well, we need somebody, we've got a bigger claim here, we're going to look at this again, we're going to hire somebody else with more experience. Why shouldn't you need to at least explain in Mr. Templeton's report why you discounted those findings that Ms. Fields originally made?
Well,
there's nothing here at all.
Well, I think the decision, and this in the 30B6 deposition, I think there was some reference to it, but the decision was made to retain Templeton and essentially have him provide a completely new evaluation of the roof.
Well, I understand the decision was made. Right. I'm asking why you wouldn't clarify in the second estimate, which is basically says, yeah, she was all wrong. I mean, well, that's the conclusion, but it's not explained. Nothing is explained in that report.
Well, Mr. Templeton's report goes through in detail about what he found and what he did not find, but he did not comment on Fields' report, and that was by design so that he wasn't influenced one way or the other, and he wasn't provided with any information by Mr. McCourt, the second adjuster who went up on the roof prior to Templeton's inspection. So yeah, after Fields went up there in April of 2019 and then the claim was resubmitted, Mr. McCourt did a field inspection of his own on December 12th did not observe what he saw to be hail damage on the roof based on his inspection. That's when he retained Templeton, who inspected the roof on the 20th of December and did not find hail. So there was an effort to insulate Templeton from the differing opinions of the original adjuster and Mr. McCourt, the second adjuster.
And depositions have not been taken of Templeton?
Mr. Templeton was not deposed, correct.
All right. Nor Peterson?
Mr. Peterson was not deposed either. That is correct. So there were some references made to the photographs, and I have very little time left. I'll just note the photographs are on page 269 and 271 of volume 2, the only two that show very small amounts of hail on the roof. The vast majority of the roof was completely visible.
You mean snow.
Did I say hail? I meant snow. Thank you, Judge. I apologize for that error. If there are no further questions, we would ask that this court affirm Judge Domenico's correct decision granting summary judgment to Mid-Century. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, counsel. The case will be submitted. Appreciate your arguments today. They've been helpful, and counsel are excused.
Thank you.
And we're going to take about a 10-minute break. We'll be back about 10:25.